12, and I'm happy to be joined on the line by the leader of Brentwood Council, that is Chris Hossack. So good morning, Chris, or good afternoon, rather.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michelle. How are you?
Great to talk to you. Now, COVID, as from midnight tonight, the COVID alert for Brentwood, which was medium, is going to be changed to high. And I know there's lots of people listening out there, you know, want to know about the stats, who made the changes, how long it's going to be for, and also how it's going to affect people in Brentwood. So start us off with where has the change come from?
So basically what's driving the change is Essex County Council, along with Essex leaders, have been getting together and looking at basically the growth trajectory of the infection rate. Okay, well, I won't start talking numbers on the phone, because you and I have talked about numbers before and I've given you my view on numbers, but basically the infection rate is doubling week on week. Okay,
yeah.
So if we look at I have got some numbers in front of me, I suppose I have to give them, but if you look at where Brentwood is, the latest figures I've got off the county website now is around about 80 cases per 100,000.
Right.
Now, that's pretty low, you know, in the scheme of things, it is. But the problem is, if the doubling rate continues, next week it'll be 180, the week after it'll be 360, the week after that you're looking at 720.
Mm.
So if you look at Liverpool now, which is already in Tier 3 lockdown, it's around about... It's changing, of course, every day, isn't it, literally? But they're around about 650, 700 per 100,000. So if we looked at the trajectory, what we're basically looking at is saying, well, actually, we could have the same rate per 100,000 as Liverpool have got, and obviously we see what's happening there.
Mm.
So it was all about saying, what can we do to intervene to reduce this infection rate? And that's the primary motivation for doing it. Now, whilst on the scheme of things, if you look at the general population, it's small numbers... Of course, the whole thing about this is not about the proportion of the population. It's actually about the number of critical bed units we've got available. This is always, if we go back, was all about protect the NHS, save lives. It was about NHS capacity.
Yeah.
And I've been on a call this morning with a couple of other leaders. I'm told Basildon's 30 ICU beds are full. Okay, I'm told Rochford have seen a 200% increase in the last week of the acute beds being taken up. So you have to divorce... The thinking of this is not big in the terms of the general population, because there are 77,000 people in Brentwood and, you know, 90 cases is not huge.
Mm.
But actually, what's the pressure on the beds? Okay, so that's why this is being driven, the capacity to actually look after people that get critical when they catch the COVID virus. So that deals with the rationale, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, are you That I can't say any more than that. It's an intervention. My view on it is this. We're trying to put a cork in the bottle. What we need to see over the next couple of weeks is what happens. Okay, so let's say the rates come down, which is the intention. Then what do we do? Do we stay stuck in Tier 2 and keep the cork in the bottle?
Mm.
Or do we actually take the cork out of the bottle, try and get back to some semblance of normality and watch the rates go up again?
Mm.
So we're kind of just yo-yoing on Tier 2 and trying to avoid Tier 3, which, frankly, I don't want to see in Brentwood. Because that's when, you know, it's hard enough under these measures not being able to socialise with your mates under the same roof. So, you know, basically you can't go for a drink with your mates anymore. Or, you know, they're trying to restrict travel with the exception of work, access to work and education.
Yeah.
You know, I understand why they're doing it, but this is not living life, is it? And
no.
It's a real difficult one because, and this is just under Tier 2, it's difficult. And we've got to remember that Tier 2 is not about closing businesses. It's about trying to prevent businesses closing in Tier 2, as we've seen up in the northwest of England.
Mm.
And we know Manchester are resisting it. And I think Andy Burnham makes some good points. Mm. I really think he does.
Yeah.
So I'm really... What my personal view on it is, let's see what effect this intervention takes. If it doesn't have the effect of reducing the rate, and therefore you know what's going to happen, some people, the public health director, are going to be calling out for let's go Tier 3 then, we need to. Then my answer is going to be to that, well, actually, if the measures we've taken aren't working, why do you assume taking more measures is also going to work? And the bottom line in all of this for me, I think, is, I hate to say it, we've got to try and learn to live with this, because we can't put the whole population on hold, threaten all the business viability again, the massive pressure that is coming on people who are self-employed, running shops and businesses, the whole side effect of people not going to hospital for cancer treatment because they're too afraid to do it, you know, the mental health issue of losing your business, not being able to pay your mortgage. And we talked about it last week, Michelle, didn't we, or the week before, about the secondary crisis.
Yeah.
And that's my real concern. You know, great, we're in these measures for a couple of weeks. Let's see what happens. What do we do? Uncork it? Go back to where we were 2 weeks ago? Or do we, you know, go to tier three when clearly it's not really having an effect?
Mm.
So I'm really torn over this. You've got to be mindful of the people who are the most vulnerable, and you've got to be mindful of the majority as well, which includes, as I say, a lot of people who are dependent on employment for all this sort of stuff. And I don't know what the solution is, but I certainly think, you know, maybe tier three for those people who are the most vulnerable. And there's I won't list all those people that are. If we know you're of a certain age, you've got a pre-existing condition, whatever that might be. And maybe the world needs to try and go on around those people.
Mm.
That's a difficult one. I speak to somebody who's got an elderly mother who lives on her own. What am I saying there? I can't go and visit her because that, you know, under tier three, I wouldn't be able to. Under tier two, actually, I can't. So, there's some real dilemmas here, and it seems to be distilling into two camps, whether you're pro-inhibiting the virus growth no matter what, or whether you're taking the view, well, this is really crippling the economy, it's affecting much more people in a much broader sense, so actually what do we do? And I just think we probably need to be a bit more pragmatic about the solution, not cripple society the way it has been for this year. And frankly, I don't see how we can afford to do what we did. The government, rather, can afford to do what they did.
Yep.
Because, of course, it's not the government that's paying it. They're only giving us our own money back in grants.
Yeah, yeah.
And the debt is just going through the roof, trillions and trillions, literally.
Yes.
And I just can't see how we could do that for a second wave. So it's very concerning, Michelle. And sorry I've rambled on a bit there, but that's kind of my take on things, really.
Now, I do have a question in from Alison, who is a Brentwood resident. In Brentwood and throughout Essex, the COVID cases have fallen as per the figures published on the Essex County Council website. She said, last week there were just 26 cases. We did cover this bit. She said, it's ruining people's lives and livelihoods when the figures are this small. It doesn't make sense. We should protect the elderly and the vulnerable and carry on. We had a spike in the numbers when the schools went back as expected. It's better to hold back now and only move up a tier if and when we really need to. The integrity of Essex County Council and subsequently Brentwood District Council are both being called into question here. Is it true by moving up a tier, the councils are able to obtain extra funding from the government?
All right, so there's multiple questions there, and I think, you know, in that statement, and a lot of it I think I covered in what I said. You know, it's not about the effect of the proportion of the overall population. In an immediate sense, it's about how many beds have you got in ICU to deal with this. This is all about protect the NHS. You know, we haven't got an infinite number of beds. If 77,000 people in Brentwood go down with it badly, there is no healthcare for those people.
Yep.
So it is about intervention. I'm not quite sure. Again, we can talk about lies, damn lies, and statistics. I'm getting fed up with it because I'm quite clear from what I'm seeing on my bar chart here that it's doubling every week.
Mm.
And it's happening not just in Brentwood, but across the county, across London. And, of course, London's gone into Tier 2 at the same time as most of Essex has done.
Yeah. What about the extra funding? Is that something that's just...
The extra funding, I was on a call yesterday. It's not been confirmed to me yet, but the Secretary of State mentioned, it was only verbally, that we're going to get £3 a head to go into Tier 2.
Right.
That works out in Brentwood to... Look, I don't know what people are doing. People seem to be doing this like we're doing this because the council needs some money. I don't want any money.
Yeah.
I want an open economy. I want freedom of movement. I want libertarian values.
Mm.
I want people to live their lives.
Yeah.
I don't want any money, and we certainly wouldn't sell it down the river for £3 a head. It's absolute peanuts.
Yes.
So I think we get £3 a head is the answer. I've not had it confirmed in writing. I said it was mentioned verbally on a call with the Secretary of State yesterday.
Yeah.
And in Brentwood, what will that equate to? About £200,000?
Mm.
I mean, it's a drop in the ocean in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no way that any council is motivated by £3 a head to take a next step up. It's you know, it seems to be the sense of what I'm getting, because I've had a few of those questions on email.
Mm.
Well, actually, you go to Tier 2, you send 10 businesses to the wall, your rateable income's just dropped off more than that anyway, so why would you do it?
Yeah.
So it's absolutely nothing to do with the funding you get per head, but what I understand is £3 a head for going to Tier 2. If we were to go to Tier 3, it's probably a different figure.
Right.
And Brentwood, you know, to put it in the scheme of things, got £28,000 from central government to try and support those people who are putting themselves in the in a shielding situation.
Mm.
Again, it's peanuts. And Brentwood, unfortunately, is a small town who's got a really, this is all done on sort of demographics and looking at deprivation rates, etc. Brentwood scores very low on rate of deprivation, so therefore it's never at the forefront of actually getting some significant cash to support this community in times like this. So money is not a factor at all. Like I say, up until yesterday, I wasn't even aware we were getting £3 ahead, but that's what I'm being told.
The rules, looking through on the government website this morning, and you can actually go to Brent, obviously go to Brentwood Council website and have a look there and see the new rules, because you will need to know what's changed. Don't just carry on as normal, because there are fines and things. We'll talk about the enforcement of this in a while. So the meeting with friends and family, you mustn't meet anybody outside of your... If you live with somebody, that's fine, but you mustn't meet anybody outside of your bubble.
So... the differentiator is it's under the same roof.
Mm.
So if you were going to go to the pub with your mates and you don't live together, usually you're not in that bubble, or they're not a carer of yours or whatever, you can't do it. You can't sit at the same table in the pub with people outside of your bubble under the same roof. And in the same way, you can't go to their house or they can't come to your house, which makes it interesting, because if you live in Thurrock and you've got mates in Thurrock, you can go to their house because they've stayed in Tier 1.
Yeah.
But if you live in Thurrock and you've got mates in Brentwood, you can't go to their house and they can't come to yours.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a mixed bag. It doesn't help when people take sort of different views on things, whilst I respect their reason for doing it. And then the other piece is people mustn't socialise in groups of more than six. Anyway, that rule was there. That you can still do that, but not more than six, but in an outside setting.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
They're also asking that, by all means, travel for work and access to education. But, of course, they're saying, as they've always said up for months this year now, if you can work from home, please do so. So the changes are not affecting business at this point in time. I think it makes it difficult to go out for a meal with your mates or have a drink with your mates, and that will affect business. But the whole point of this, the intent of this, whether you agree or not, is another question, is to try and prevent us going to Tier 3, put the cork in the bottle now, stop the exponential doubling week-on-week growth rate of the infection, and see what we do. You know, as I say, the big question mark for me is, okay, we get there, we bring it back down to 40 per 100,000 or whatever, and we uncork the bottle, and then it goes up again. Oh, here we go again. So, I'm not clear. I think we've got to come up with coping strategies, not restriction strategies.
I think the main thing that I've heard from people, whereas before, we first went into lockdown, people were willing to do for the greater good. And I think now I can feel the attitude is changing to we probably are going to have to live alongside without a vaccine for this and shield the people that need shielding, because otherwise there will be nothing to come back to, because people will start losing their homes.
No, you're quite right, Michelle. We've got to be real careful here that a mass despondency doesn't set in, because that is the way people are starting to feel. And then when people start to feel that way, they react badly to it, and then you start to get other sort of problems being caused. But what we've got to do, I don't want to come across as being a rebel. We're in these restrictions. Let's try and make the most of it for 2 or 3 weeks. Let's see what the effect is. Let's hope they have an effect positively and that the rates come down. But then, as I say, the question for 3 weeks' time is, okay, what do we do next? Stay where we are?
Yeah.
Do we revert back to Tier 1? And if they haven't come down and they've continued to go up, do we go on to Tier 3? But actually, if we've just proven through Tier 2 that the rate's not come down, then why do we think Tier 3 will be any help?
Mm.
And we have to look around the country. We have to see what's going to happen in Liverpool as part of their Tier 3 measures. We have to see that when they come out of Tier 3, what happens to the infection rate? Because, we did all these mass restrictions in the summer. We got the rate right down, and the rate's going up, and we're getting into this peaks and troughs cycle.
Mm.
And, we've got to think of the society as a whole, the global society, everyone's facing this.
Yeah.
And we've got to come up with some coping strategies, I feel, rather than these punitive, restrictive strategies, because it's just going to affect other people in different ways, economically, financially, in their mental health as a consequence of it.
Yeah.
So it's a real difficult one. I think what we've got to do is accept where we are under the rule of law as well. I mean, the police are being tasked with making sure, more so than they did in the summer, it's fair to say that these rules are being adhered to. They're focused on enforcement. You know, if they see you outside in more than groups of six, then they will intervene. So, you know, that's what they're trying to do. So we've got to respect the rule of law. We've got to respect the intent to do it. But we've got to think of the bigger picture as well. And I think this debate will evolve because, as you said, you're sensing a fundamental difference between what it was like earlier in the year to the way people are. And I think it's starting to be born out of a here-we-go-again despondency cycle. Yep. And it was a dreadful, let's call it a dreadful novelty when it happened in March.
Mm.
But now it's not a novelty and it's still dreadful. And people are afraid that they're going to go through the next 6 months, through Christmas, through the winter, when it's depressing anyway.
Yep.
It's great when the weather was beautiful and you could kind of sit in your garden and you just about cope with it with a cold beer in your hand. That's going to be completely different than the dark, damp nights of November and December.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to think about these things. So we've just got to keep a really open mind to solutions, but also try and, you know, as I said to you on the call the other week, do the basic things. What are the numbers I care about? It is 2 meters. It is six people. It is, you know, these basic numbers that we need to be considering. In doing that, we try and help everybody else.
Yeah, and not to forget as well, there have been thousands upon thousands of people that have died of COVID-19, and family have lost their mums, dads, uncle, brothers, partners. We are carrying on as best we can, but that, you know, the people have lost their lives.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, you can't detract from that. There's nothing more emotional, damagingly damages your emotion and everything else than losing somebody that you're close to.
Mm.
So whilst, you know, whilst that is severe, it's a traumatic thing to go through, and I think that is preeminent. It's such an emotive thing that's what's driving these measures.
Mm.
But on the other hand, you're recognising the majority of people are also going through the pain of, you know, losing their business, not being able to pay their bills, therefore losing their homes, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So there's a real difficult balance to be struck. Huge pain for a very small minority, and then, you know, different level of pain, should we say, but equally to be acknowledged for a really large percentage of the population.
Mm.
So what do you do? It's that classic dilemma, isn't it, that we're in.
Now, if you want to find out more, and you will need to go and have a look at the Brentwood Council website, if you go there, it'll tell you about meeting family and friends, visiting venues, also for restaurant, pubs and places of worship, business and venues, going to work, going to school, college or university, childcare, visiting relatives in care homes, travel, weddings, civil partnerships, religious services and funerals, sports and physical activity, moving home, and also if you need financial support. So all of the details will be on the Brentwood Council website. Right. There's a link, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is indeed. It's all on there on a headline banner on brentwood.gov. Yeah. It's an intervention, and we have to keep an eye on the effect of the intervention. So let's hope that, you know, what's the overriding message in this, I suppose, in closing, is we are where we are. So let's do what we can under the rules that, you know, you've just outlined and what everyone can get access to try and drive the rate down, to try and restore some normality. So let's hope and be focused on doing that and nothing else at this stage.
Mm.
And let's worry about the outcome of that in two or three. I don't want to predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen. I just want to talk about where we are today, what the rules are today, what the government are asking us to do, what the, you know, the police force, etc., are asking us to do. Let's be compliant. Let's get the rate down. And let's hope to get the rate down, and then try and get back to some sort of normality. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's not as difficult as losing a loved one, is it? So let's keep the context and take it one day at a time as best we can.